kalayaan, or freedom. It is something that we all yearn for. Hindi natin malalaman kung gaano kahalaga ito until it has been taken away from us. There are a lot of threats to our freedom, especially sa time ng global pandemic na ito. Some of them are good. Some of them are sobering. All of us, due to quarantine, social distancing, and curfews, have limited our freedom to move around Dubai. We're limited to play and go out and play sports. We're limited to walk in the park. We're limited to exercise, do our normal daily routine. And you know what? This is a good thing. This is one way in light of helping the government slow down the spread of COVID-19. Well, some of us, due to company transitions, are now on work from home. Some of us were forced to leave without pay. Well, some of us lost our jobs. The freedom to work and provide for their families have been thwarted. And this is sobering news. It is also sobering for us as a covenant community to not gather regularly on a Friday. It's sobering for us not to fellowship one another, to join together in singing God's word, in praying God's word, in seeing God's word through the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We long for that time that we fellowship with one another, greeting each other with handshakes and hugs and holy bezos. Oh, friends, how we long for that day that we would once again gather. For those of us who enjoy and are used to earthly freedom, it is difficult getting used not to having it. So, passage natin ngayong hapon ito, Paul talks about another freedom. It is a type of freedom that we desperately need. It is a type of freedom that we must zealously live. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating pag-aaral in the book of Galatians. No other gospel. So far na pag-aaralan na natin sa chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul recounted his spiritual autobiography upang nga patunayan na siya ay isang apostle na nagmumula sa Panginoon, that the gospel that he was preaching is the same gospel na pinipreach ng mga apostles sa Jerusalem, that it was a gospel that came from Christ. Samantala sa chapter 3 and 4 naman, pinaliwanag ni Paul kung ano yung theology ng gospel ng kanyang pinangaral. Nang isang nilalang ay justified sa pamamagitan ng by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. Now, pagdating ko sa chapter 5 and chapter 6, Paul takes this good news of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection and applies it daily sa buhay ng isang Kristiyano. So this is now part ng practical theology ng liham na ito. So, as we look at our passage na binasa kanina ni Bon, I have divided this passage into three headings. Number one, false freedom, verses 2 to 6. Number two, foes of true freedoms, or enemies of true freedom. And number three, fruit of true freedom, verses 13 to 15. And the main point natin ngayong hapon ito is this. Christians, don't forget the gospel that set you free. Be careful not to lose and abuse your gospel freedom. Umpisahan po natin sa unang point. Number one, false freedom. Kapag dating sa usapang freedom sa Bible, lalong-lalo na po sa New Testament, isa lang po ang sinasabi niyan. It's freedom in Christ. At ito din po ang inaral natin last week when we looked at chapter 5, verse 1. Sabi po dyan, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Ang tunay na kahulugan ng freedom ay hindi kalayaan gawin lahat ng gusto natin gawin. Hindi kalayaan na sabihin ang gusto natin sabihin. Hindi ho kalayaan na paniwalaan yung mga bagay na gusto natin paniwalaan. Ang kalayaan na sinasabi po rito ay hindi self-fulfillment, hindi po self-entitlement. ang tunay na kalayaan na pinagkaloob ng Panginoong Hesukristo nang napako siya sa cross at muling nabuhay ay isang kalayaan sa kasalanan, kalayaan sa kamatayan, at kalayaan sa kaaway o sa devil. According nga kay John Stott sa kanyang commentary sa Galatians, ang sabi niya, "Our former state is portrayed as slavery. Jesus Christ as a liberator, conversion as an act of emancipation or to be legally free, and Christian life as a life of freedom." Paul throughout the book of Galatians calls it freedom from the law. Ito ang pangunahing concern ni Paul sa mga tigadalasya na nagsisimula na naman silang maniwala sa pagsunod sa kautusan ni Moises. Bumabalik sila sa mga bagay na umalipin sa kanila. As we all know by now, no one can be justified through the law because no one can obey the law perfectly. Ito ay magdudulot lamang ng kamatayan. Tayo mapapawalang sala lamang through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed the law that we could not perfectly obey. He paid the penalty of sin that we could not pay. And He won the victory that we could not win. Ayon niya sa Romans 8, chapter 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Well, praise God that those of us who trusted Christ's finished work on the cross are set free. Free from the very things that has enslaved us. We are free to be who God wants us to be. We are free who God wants, what God wants us to do. Ang mga Galatians were free in Christ. Ngunit dahan-dahan silang bumabalik sa mga bagay na umalipin sa kanila. Namely, yung circumcision. Now, sa Old Covenant, napag-aralan na natin itong mga nakaraan na linggo, it's worth mentioning again, sa Old Covenant, ang circumcision ay isang tanda na ikaw ay kabahagi ng covenant ng Diyos. Ang problema dito, kahit naging Kristiyano na ang ibang mga Hudyo, ay pinakahawakan pa rin nila ang paniniwala na kailangan pa rin nila magpatuloy dahil ito ay isang importanteng elemento raw para sa kaligtasan. Hindi ho totoo ito. Actually, ito ang tinuturo nila ayon sa Acts chapter 15, verse 1, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." So ito yung mga tinuturo ng mga false teachers, ito mga tinuturo ng mga Judaizers, mga legalists, or false teachers. Sila ini-indoctrinohan nila ang mga Galatians na dapat silang magpa-circumcise. Dahil dito, si Paul ay nagbigay ng sunod-sunod na babala sa passage na ito. Sunod-sunod na babala against the false teachers at sa false freedom na daan-daan pinaniniwala ng mga taga-Galatians. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 2. "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you." Ang sinasabi po ni Paul dito ay kapag tinanggap nila ang kasinungalingan na sila ay mapapawalang sala pag sila ay nagpa-circumcise, then para na nilang sinabi na hindi nila kailangan si Kristo. At walang kahulugan ang kanilang ang mga benepisyo na pwede nilang makuha upon trusting in Jesus Christ. Parang ito ang ito rin yung minumungkahi ni Paul sa chapter 2 verse 21. "If righteousness or justification were through the law, then Christ died for nothing or for no purpose. Trying to get right with God through circumcision or any religious activity or duty makes Christ what he has done on the cross useless. It makes him worthless. Para saan pa na kailangan nila ng tagapagligtas kung sila mismo ay kaya nilang iligtas ang kanilang mga sarili?" Friends, this is also true sa panahon natin ngayon. Unless we see that we desperately need to be saved from our sins, we will never see the need for a Savior. It's either tanggapin natin ang kaligtasan na nagmumula sa pagsunod ng kautusan, o ang kaligtasan na nagmumula sa grasya ng Panginoon Hesukristo at ginawa niya sa krus. We cannot have both. With Christ, it's either all or nothing. Kung magpapatuloy ng mga Galatians, i-base ang kanilang kaligtasan sa mabubuti nilang gawa, ang mangyayari po sa kanila ay tatlong bagay. Unang-una, walang silbi ang sakripisyon ni Kristo sa krus. Pangalawa, we also become debtors. Debtors to what? We become debtors to God's law. Tingnan niyo yung verse 3. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. Binabalaan ni Paul ang mga Galatians na kung patuloy nilang pangahawakan na sila ay mapapawalang sala sa pagtuli, meron din silang pananagutan na sundin lahat ng mga kautusan ng Diyos. Circumcision was a way para maging bahagi ng Old Covenant. Ngunit ang Old Covenant ay inire-require din ang perfect obedience of sa law ng Panginoon. According kay Martin Luther sa kanyang lectures sa Galatians, the same principle by which you are obliged to receive circumcision obliges you to accept the whole law. You must either give up Christ or the righteousness of the law. If you keep Christ, you are righteous in the sight of God. If you keep the law, Christ is of no avail to you. Then you are obligated to keep the whole law. Since walang makasunod sa law, tayo po ay mananatiling pananagutan na sundin ang lahat ng kautusan ng Diyos. Yun po ang mangyayari doon. Kaya binalaan ni Paul na huwag na sila magpatuli. Huwag nila ituloy yan. Of course, kay Paul, wala naman po problema sila yung magpatuli. As long as hindi ito means of justification. Kaya kaso, problema ng mga Galatians, gusto sila magpatuli dahil alam nila na ito'y makakadagdag sa kanilang kaligtasan. So Paul said, huwag na kayo magpatuli, huwag na kayo magpa-circumcise. Adding circumcision to Christ for salvation, one, makes Christ's sacrifice on the cross worthless. Two, we became debtors to God's law. And there's a third one, so verse 4. Didn't you verse 4? You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. Ano ibig sabihin ng severed? Ang salitang severed po means to cut off, alienated. Literally, ang sinasabi po ni Paul dito, kung patuloy pa din nilang pipilitin, mapawalang sala sa pamamagitan po ng good works, ng pagsunod sa kautusan ng Diyos, or pag-circumcised, they are cutting themselves off from Christ. Yung po ang ginagawa po niya, they're cutting themselves off from Christ. And then he said, sa second part ng verse 4, you have fallen away from grace. So ano pong ibig sabihin na ito? Pastor, ibig sabihin po ba na ito? Yung falling away of grace is nawawala ang kaligtasan? Honestly, marami po ang gumagamit dito as proof text sa kanilang paniniwala na once na niligtas ka ng Panginoon, pwedeng mawala ang kanilang kaligtasan. So yung bang ibig sabihin po na ito? Hindi po. Paul is not making a case about eternal security dito. Malinaw po sa Biblia that no one can lose their salvation. Sabi ko sa John chapter 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Wala pong nilalang o circumstansya ang makakaagaw sa ating kaligtasan. Wala tayong kayang gawin upang mawala ang ating kaligtasan. Sa una pa lang, you have not earned your salvation. Then why do you think you can lose your salvation? Because salvation is by grace alone. So ano ibig sabihin po ni Paul dito na fallen from grace? Now, maaaring sinasabi po ni Paul dito ay those who have heard the gospel of grace, have been exposed to it, have been part of a gospel community. It was offered to them itong gospel na ito. But the problem is, ilang taon nila naririnig, ilang taon nilang naka-expose sa gospel, ito po nangyari, they still rejected Christ and trusted their good works or other add-ons sa gospel. So, in short, they did not lose their salvation. There's nothing to lose. The truth is, in the first place, probably, they were never Christians. They were never Christians in the first place. And this is not new sa ibang letters in the New Testament. Sabi sa 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Mga kaibigan, ang mga tunay na mga anak ng Diyos, ang mga tunay na Kristiyano, ang mga tunay na niligtas ng Panginoon ay magpapatuloy till the end. Magpapatuloy sa pananampalataya sa Panginoon Jesus Christ till the end. That it is God who will cause them to persevere. Isa sa mga letters ni Paul sa isang church na ko sa Philippi, sabi sa Philippians 1:6, sabi niya, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Teka muna. So, kung tayo ay hindi maliligtas sa ating mabubuting gawa, then ang tanong, Pastor, is, paano tayo maliligtas? O, tignan po natin ang verse 5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Ang tanging paraan upang tayo po ay maligtas o mapawalang sala is by faith alone. Faith in Christ Jesus alone. Christ is the foundation of our freedom. There are no other way for us to be saved. Hindi po yung mga mabubuti nating gawa, hindi po yung ating mga reliyon, hindi po yung mga kapamamaraan na kung saan gagawa tayo ng mga mabubuting bagay upang mas timbangin o timbangan, mas bigatan yung mga nagawa natin masasama. Kasi lahat ng mga bagay na yun ay hindi kaaya-aya o kalugod-lugod sa harapan ng Diyos. There's no other way, kapatid, for us to be reconciled with God. But God knows that and God is holy and it's just right for God to exercise judgment sa mga makakasalanan na katulad po natin. So what did God do? God made a way. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who perfectly obeyed the law na hindi natin kaya, and made that perfect sacrifice on the cross na hindi natin kaya gawin. He died for our sins, took our sins, bore our sins, and received the full wrath of God the Father na dapat sa atin ay binuo sa Kanya. He was punishing the Son for our sake, for our sins. He died, and on the third day has risen from the dead. That's the glorious hope ng mga tunay na Christians. That's why those who are made righteous before God through Jesus Christ, their hope is not on their futile attempts to produce good works. Hindi po. No, ito ang ginagawa ng mga false teachers. Instead, the Christians wait on God's complete righteousness. At kailan yung complete righteousness ng Panginoon sa atin? Well, it can happen in two ways. One, it's either God will take us home through death, absent in the body and present in the Lord, or yung second coming of Christ. Perfect righteousness. Kaya it doesn't matter kung ang isang individual ay circumcised o hindi circumcised. Hindi ito ang basehan o palatandaan ng isang tunay na Kristiyano. Hindi po. Ang basehan o palatandaan ng isang tunay na naligtas ay ano, Pastor? Kung hindi yun, ano palatandaan? Well, tingnan natin yung verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. And here it comes, but only faith working through love. The only kind of faith that is worth anything is the kind of faith that expresses itself through love. True faith always expresses itself to love. It's love for God and love towards others. At titignan po natin ang applications that more clearly towards the last point po natin. Now we have seen how false gospel produces false freedom and what true gospel is and how it produces true freedom. Now let's look at the enemies of the true freedom, which is your point number two natin. Foes or enemies of true freedoms, verse 7 to 10. Paul views the Christian life as a race that he himself is part of. A race that is long, a race that is hard, a race that is worth running. Sabi nga ni Paul sa Acts chapter 20, verse 24, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course or race. towards the end of this ministry, such as 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have finished the race. And so here comes Paul writing to the Galatians and told them, so verse 7, you were running well. Galatians, you are doing well. When the Galatians first heard the gospel of Christ, they received it with great joy. They were living the Christ-centered life. There were no Jews and Gentiles distinction. All are unified in Christ. They were loving each other, sharing meals towards each other. They were heralding the gospel of grace together. Many came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that produced several church plants across Galatia. They were, so to speak, running the Christian race well. But something happened. Something really bad happened. They started to take a different turn. Why? Well, because there were false teachers from Jerusalem who claimed to be people with authority and started preaching a different gospel. So I'm giving one of our false teachers. Well, let me give you five things that they've done. First of all, false teachers hindered obeying the truth. False teachers hinder obeying the truth. Look at verse 7. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now, ito muna tayo dyan. The word hindered dito means cutting in. Ito ay isang terminolohiya na ginagamit ng mga Greek games, particularly sa foot race, sa karera, sa takbuhan. May mga pagkakataon ng isang alahok na gusto manalo, para siya'y manalo, ang gagawin po niya, mandadaya siya. It's either papatirin niya ang kasamahan niya tumatakbo or ikakat niya mismo sa gitna yung kalaban niya para maiba ang direction o ma-disorient, hindi alam, mababaga ng kanyang pacing papunta sa finish line. Now, the Galatians first were doing well. They were straining, they were focusing, they were running well, they're focused on the prize. Ngunit nung dumating ang mga false teachers o yung mga Judaizers, hinadlangan nila ang direction ng mga Galatians. Okay? They were being hindered from obeying the truth. Ang truth that was mentioned dito is the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Na kung saan yung truth that there is forgiveness of sins. Now, iniba po nila yan. Pansinin po natin na the running the Christian life is more than just knowing the truth. It is actually living the truth. Once we were justified, we need to be sanctified. Bukod sa naibang katayuan natin sa Diyos Ama, ang pamumuhay po natin ngayon ay maiiba din. We now must obey the gospel truth. What we believe should not be divorced on how we behave. At makikita natin ito sa ating last point, which I will be practically mentioning. So, mga false teachers hinders the truth. Second, false teachers are not from God. Hindi sila galing sa Panginoon. Tingnan niyo naman ang verse 8. This persuasion is not from him who calls you. Paul knew that it was God who called the Galatians. Makita po natin sa chapter 1, verse 6. Again, grace is something that we do not deserve. It is unmerited favor. God did not deal with us what we deserve. He gave us what we needed. The very thing that we all needed. God granted us grace by forgiving us from our sins at the expense of His Son's death on the cross. Kung ang kaligtasan ng Diyos is offered by grace, then yung nadirinig ng mga Galatians na tinuturo sa mga false teachers ay hindi galing sa Diyos. Kasi ang tinuturo nila is Christ plus good works, plus Christ plus circumcision, Christ plus law. So this is a Christ plus gospel. At hindi yun yung gospel na tinuturo ni Paul ng mga apostles ni Jesus Christ or galing sa Diyos Ama. Ginamit ni Paul ang word na persuasion dito sa verse 8 na kung saan ibig sabihin sila ay nakumbinsi ng mga mamang ito. So isa lang ang masasabi natin dito, magaling magsalita ang mga false teachers na ito. False teachers use the Bible, but not in a faithful way. They twist scriptures, they subtract, and they add from its truth. They change the gospel that brings hope and diverts the people's hopes to something else, something that is dangerous, something that is lethal. Itong panahon ng pandemic na ito ay panahon ng kalituhan, panahon ng takot, panahon ng pangamba. Many people are wondering kung kailan ba matatapos ito. People are out all the time in social media looking for answers. They look to science, they look to religion, and unfortunately, false teachers take advantage in spreading their false gospel during this time of uncertainty. They are pushing their gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity. One tele-evangelist said na nagkaroon po siya ng panaginip na galing sa Panginoon na kailangan niya nung isulat. Nung he was sharing yung dream na nakita niya o pangitain, he said na ang COVID-19 ay magwawakas na raw. But dahil tatabunan daw ito ng mga prayers ng lahat ng Christians, yun daw ang sinabi sa kanya ng Panginoon na kailangan sabihin daw sa tao. And in a different scene, ang ginawa naman ng mama na ito, he started praying judgment against the COVID-19. He started praying judgment. He was naming it and he was claiming it. Now, may isa namang person sa na kunsan sa isang COVID-19 related prayer, after niya sabihin na sila ang ministry na hospital for the spiritual sick, biglang pinasok po na yung point na kung saan hinihikayat niya ang kanyang tagapakinig na mag-donate ng pera sa kanyang gawain. At sa pag-donate nila ng pera sa kanyang gawain, and I'm not kidding, sabi niya, it's like sowing financial seed. Ito raw ay isang sinyalis o isang sign of faith para sa Panginoon. And as a return, God will bless them. God will heal them. God will heal their loved ones. Some of you for the past few weeks has shared to me na may mga Christian friends kayo na kinwestiyon ang faith ninyo because you are wearing masks. Because huminto yung service natin. At dahil po ron, dahil sa paniniwala na kung talagang tunay daw tayo na may pananampalataya sa Panginoon Jesus Cristo, hindi daw tayo magkakasakit. Yun daw ay sign na mahina raw ang kanyang faith. Friends, if you are watching or listening sa mga teachings na ito, huwag nyo nang panoorin, huwag nyo nang pakinggan. They're not using the Bible faithfully. They are sharing false teaching. Mga kapatid, huwag tayo agad-agad maniwala kung may mga nagsasabi sa atin na sa mensahero o mensahera na nagmumula sa Panginoon. Do not believe a false teacher, even if he says that may mga ebidensya siya na galing siya sa Panginoon. Sabi nga sa 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 to 3, that we should test them. We should test the very spirit to see if they are from God. Friends, this is a crucial time to share the true gospel that gives true hope to the hopeless. This is our time. This is the time that we should shine as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ in our deeds and in our creeds. Kailangan po natin i-share ang gospel because kung hindi, dito mauuwi yan sa mga ganitong turo ng mga false teachers sa mga tao na nag-desperately looking for hope. They are aggressive and so kailangan maging aggressive tayo in advancing the gospel. Friends, let me also give a brotherly warning sa atin ngayong hapon na ito. We should not just watch out for false teachers, but we should also examine our hearts to see if we are starting to move away from the right gospel. Sabi sa 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off to myths. I know these are scary times. These are uncertain times. And the truth is sometimes nagpapanik po tayo. And I know maybe some of us are trying to find answers apart from scriptures. Friends, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. If hindi sa salita ng Diyos tayo naghahanap para maisan yung ating takot o pangamba, then probably you're looking for a preacher or a teacher na kung saan hindi mangaralang ng salita ng Diyos. We're looking for teachers and preachers na kung saan magkakaroon tayo ng calmness sa ating heart, pero really they're just flattering us or not giving truth. Third, false teachers corrupt others. Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Alam niyo ba, this is a proverb na ginamit ni Paul. Alam niyo ba, kung saan ang poly-poly proverb na yan? Ang poly-poly yung proverb na yan sa bakery. Sa bakery niyo nakuha yan. Sa paggawa ng tinapay, actually. He's saying, false teachers are like leaven that spread through the dough. This is the one, yung leaven na to, this is yung one that causes the bread to rise. To become lighter, softer, fluffier. Okay, yung finished product ng tinapay is light, malambot, and fluffy. I'm no bread expert, pero yun yung aking nabasa. Sa New Testament, ang leaven or yeast are related sa corruption. Ito ay simbolo na kumakalat na kasalanan or false doctrine. Parang leaven, it works in secret. It spreads from particle to particle. It spreads throughout the loaf and changes the whole thing. At yun din ang sinasabi ni Paul sa false teachers that will work in, who will work in secret, spreading their false teaching from person to person. This false teaching is so powerful na konti lang idagdag sa true gospel, immediately changes the gospel itself. And they totally corrupt the message and is spreading sa churches in Galatia. Yun po ang nangyayari nung time na yun. Ang danger dito, if the Galatians allowed themselves to be circumcised, they would end up denying two central doctrines of the Christian faith. Una, they will be denying the atonement. And second, they will be denying justification. Ang sasabihin nila na Christ's death on the cross was not sufficient. It is not enough. That they needed more atonement for their sins. And so they would say that they could not be justified by faith alone. Yun po ang danger po sa katuruan ng mga false teachers na to. Paul recognized na karamihan, isa sa mga problema na hinarap ng mga Galatia sa church nila, it's because of the theological error na pinahawakan nila. False teachers are problematic and are attacking many people. It attacks many members of the church that leads to disunity. Fourth, false teachers will be judged. Verse 10, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. Paul here gives an encouragement and a warning, encouragement that he said, I have confidence in the Lord. I have confidence in you, Galatians. I have confidence in the Lord. Paul is persuaded that true followers will either immediately or eventually detect false teaching and run away from it. It is because God would bring them back to the true gospel of free grace. It is God who will sustain them. It is God who will cause them to persevere. Now, that's an encouragement sa ating mga mananampalataya sa Panginoon. But there's also a warning. Paul is also confident na kung sino man yung gumugulo sa kanila will bear the penalty, ang ginamit ni Paul ito, whoever he is. Maaaring alam niya o hindi niya alam yung mama ito, pero hindi niya pinangalanan. But what Paul knows and what we know, because dito sa scripture, is that one day, he will be judged. All false teachers will be judged if they do not repent and trust Jesus Christ for salvation. Fifth, false teachers will persecute true teachers. False teachers will persecute true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of verse 11. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. Now, may mga chismis na kumakalat, actually, ang nagkakalat ng chismis na ito ay mga false teachers, na kung saan si Paul daw ay nagtuturo ng circumcision daw ay nakakaligtas. nakuha nila siguro ito nung tinuli ni Paul si Timothy sa Acts chapter 6 verse 3. Pero ginawa lang naman ni Paul yung pagtuli kay Timothy, hindi for justification, para in order maabot nila by evangelizing yung mga Jews. Kasi kung hindi sila circumcised, mahirapan silang abutin yung mga Jews for the gospel. Yun lang ang reason kung bakit inulihan ni Paul si Timothy. But he did not circumcise si Timothy because of the doctrine na pinahawakan ng mga false teachers. Hindi totoo na tinuturo ni Paul ang justification through circumcision. So Paul gives an argument dito by saying, kung ako ay nagtuturo pa din ng sinasabi ninyo, then bakit ako pinupersecute ngayon? Bakit ako nagpo-persecute niya? Kasi kung tinuturo ko yan, hindi niyo ako aawayan. Paul was being persecuted because he was preaching the cross where Christ was crucified for sinners and was raised for their justification. Friends, the problem with preaching the gospel is that it is offensive. It is offensive to people. It is an offensive gospel. Offensive nung time ni Paul. Actually, offensive sa two types of people. It was offensive to the Romans. The Romans invented yung crucifixion. The Romans would not allow their own citizens to be crucified. Kasi sa kanila, it was an abomination. The most gruesome means of execution imaginable nung time nila. Dumating na nga yung time na kung saan yung word na Latin na crux or cross ay ginagamit na bilang mura sa panahon nila. To the Romans, it was offensive. Now, to the Jews, yung word na cross is scandalous. It is scandalous. It was scandalous for the Jews. Kasi para sa kanila, it was very contradicting yung sinasabi ni Paul. Messiah, crucified, para naging isang person na naging tagapagligtas kung siya mismo ay namatay sa krus. So para sa kanila, medyo contradicting ito. And it's also shameful. It scandalized the Jews and offended the Romans. It offended them and it still offends people now as we share the gospel. Now, bakit na-offend po mga tao every time we share the gospel? Because of the idea that they do not have a contribution sa kanilang kaligtasan. The idea na kailangan po nila ng isang person who will help them be justified. Or they needed help from someone in order to be saved. It is offensive to say that people are sinners and unable to save themselves. Christianity and its gospel is offensive. It's because of its exclusivism or exclusive claim that there is only one way to be saved. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. Not your religion, not because part ng isang family na kung saan religious, not because pinanaka sa bansa na ito, ikaw ay naging righteous. No. There's only one way. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets right with God except through me. Paul was so passionate about this gospel. He was so passionate about this gospel that he took offense every time someone changes it. Kaya medyo nakakagulat po yung sinabi niya sa verse 12. Look at verse 12. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Now, medyo graphic po yung terminology na ginamit po ni Paul dito, ano? Now, we believe that the Bible is God's inspired word. Kung ano man ang nakalagay dito sa books of the Bible na meron tayo ngayon, is from God. So yung verse na ito, we will not dodge. Okay, we will talk about it. Paul seems to be a bit emotional nung sinabi niya ito. So parang sinasabi ni Paul dito, kayong mga false teachers, since wala na kayong ibang tinuturo at pinapagawa ko, hindi magpatuli, baka hindi na lang ninyong puturin ito ng tuluyan. Parang yun ang sinasabi ni Paul po dito. Or why don't you just castrate yourself? Or yourselves? Again, Paul uses sarcasm here. Of course, he's not threatening them with violence, nor is he provoking them to physical mutilation. Yun yung pinapagawa ni Paul. Though strong ang language si Paul, he was using it for spiritual purposes. Now, I didn't say, and I think that the Galatians understand this. During Paul's day, there were pagan religions who require yung kanilang mga priests for castration. Yun po ginapagawa sa mga eunuchs. So Paul is saying, kung maniniwala kayo na ang circumcision can justify you or can save you from your sins, then wala itong pinagkaiba sa ginagawa ng mga pagan religions or rituals. Wala kayong pinagkaiba sa mga pagan priests. But hindi na lang kayong maging pareho nila at ituluyan nyo na lang. Go all the way. So that's what Paul is saying. So Paul was so offended and so zealous sa tamang gospel that he has said these things. We need to be careful sa false teachers, friends. We need to be careful sa false teaching. And for us to be careful na mahulog sa trap ng mga false teachers, let's try to do two things. First of all, study your Bible. Study your Bible. Mag-aral po tayo ng salita ng Diyos. Yung mga counterfeit specialists, para ma-identify nila talaga yung tunay na pera, spend most of their time sa tunay na pera, hindi sa counterfeit. Dahil sa experts na sila kung anong itsura, kung anong amoy, kung ano ang feel ng tunay na pera, immediately makikita na nila, ma-identify nila kung ano ang fake na pera. And it's the same thing, mga friends. We should spend our time understanding the true gospel, the true scripture, the true word of God. Spend time, study personally, study with a group. Try to watch or listen to pastors na sound yung doctrine. Start studying scripture. Second, stop listening to false teachers. Stop listening to false. And the truth is, false teachers are very entertaining. They're very charismatic. They're very, well, some are good looking. Some of them are very, very alluring in a way, the way they talk. But friends, if they are not preaching the right gospel, you need to protect your hearts. Protect their hearts, protect your church. Kasi kung ano man ang pinapanood po natin, can somehow stick sa ating pag-iisip and eventually, unconsciously, we might end up saying yung mga sinasabi nila. So spend your time with God's word and stop listening to false teachers. Check po rin yun. Are you yung social media? Stop following them. Stop reading their books. Stop reading their materials. Start reading God's word. So we saw what false freedom is like, what enemies of true freedom looks like. Now let's look at that in last point, what true Christian freedom is like. Number three, fruit of true freedom. Naalala ko, nag-share ako ng gospel sa kaibigan ko years ago. And dumating na ako sa part na sinabi ko na hindi makakaligtas yung mga mabubuti nating gawa kasi lahat yun ay maraming trapo sa harapan ng Diyos. Kailangan natin magsisi sa ating kalasalanan at iligay ang pananampalataya natin kay Kristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus para sa kapatawaran sa kasalanan. No, after ko, of course, I said a lot of marami pa ang sinabi, pero after ko mag-present ng klase, sabi niya, so, yun lang? Yun lang? So, ang ibig sabihin nito, after ko gawin yan, pwede ko nang gawin yung gusto kong gawin? Yung mayon? I think nakikita ko kung saan siya nang gagaling dito. And actually, as we look at yung studies natin ngayong hapon na to, since our good works cannot save us, and bad works don't cause us to lose our salvation, then basically, do what we, parang sinasabi ito, we can do technically whatever things that we like to do. Yung may sinasabi po dito, tama ba yun? Well, tingnan natin sa verse 13 kung parang sinasabi po. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Ang sagot ni Paul dito ay hindi. Hindi. Hindi tayo niligtas ng Panginoon sa kasalanan upang gawin na lamang ang gusto nating gawin. Sabihin ang gusto nating sabihin, paniwalaan ang gusto nating paniwalaan. Hindi po. Sabi ni Paul sa Romans, don't lose your gospel freedom. Don't abuse your gospel freedom. Sabi po sa Romans 6:1-2, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Huwag po tayo mamuhay sa paniniwala na ito. Hindi po ito makakabuti sa ating mga puso, sa ating paglakad kay Kristo. Hindi makakabuti ito sa iba, sa mga kapatiran sa Panginoon, at sa ating gospel witness sa watching world. Kapag tayo po ay nagkasala, dapat nagkakaroon tayo ng deep sorrow over sin. Hindi lisensya upang gumawa pa ng marami pang kasalanan. O dahil pinatawad naman ako ng bandi, hindi na mabawala, hindi po eh. Ang ebidensya ng tunay na anak ng Diyos, ang tunay na Kristiyano, is he will have sorrow over sin and there will have deep repentance over sin. Hindi siya magkakaroon ng desire magpatuloy. Deep sorrow and deep repentance. Being free in Christ does not mean may kalayaan tayo magkasala at gawin ang gusto natin gawin. Let us not lose our gospel freedom. So bilang Kristiyano, papaano natin gagamitan ang freedom na pinagkaloob sa atin ng Panginoon Jesucristo or yung gospel freedom na tinatawag? So paano natin gagawin yung gagamitin yung freedom sa nabigyan sa atin ng Panginoon? Diba? Ang sasagutan po dyan ay nasa verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, teka muna. Hindi ba na, basta parang nakakalito ata ito ah. Una, sinabi ni Paul na wala sino man ang makakasunod na kautusan ng Diyos. And then all of a sudden, pagdating sa verse 14, may isang command that can fulfill the old law. Yung may sinasabi, di ba parang contradicting yung ginagawa ni Paul? Is he contradicting himself? Are we, so the question is, are we required to obey the law? Of course, well, first of all, hindi kinakontradict ni Paul ang kanyang sarili. Ang sagot po dito, yes, we are required to obey the law. Okay? Ang sinasabi ni Paul dito, we are not required to obey the law as means of salvation or as means of justification. We are not required to obey the ceremonial law. But we are required, bilang mga Kristiyano, bilang niligtas ng Panginoon Jesucristo, we are required to obey the moral law. We are free from pleasing for our salvation, but we are not free from pleasing God. Since we have already been saved, justified through Christ's death on the cross, we are now not our own. We have been bought by a price through Jesus Christ. We are now reconciled to God the Father. We are now living for the joy of serving Him. Yan ang ating heart and goal and disposition. We are now serving Him out of gratitude to what He has done for us. It's not a payment, it's an act of worship. It's thank you, Lord. This is my life. Gamitin po ninyo. That's how we use our freedom. We use that also, na hindi, what Christ has done on the cross, hindi lamang ni-reconcile tayo sa God the Father, but also He reconciles us to one another. That's why our lives now are to live, to love, and serve one another. Pero, tanong po, Pastor, sa verse 14, sabi ko dyan, di ba, love your neighbor. Sino ba yung neighbor dito? Well, actually, sinagot po ni Jesus Christ po ito sa Luke chapter 10. You know yung parable the Good Samaritan, hindi po ba? Na kung saan may isang lalaki na ninakawan, ginulpe, left for dead, tapos may dalawang mama na dumaan na mga Jew, kasi Jew yung ginulpe, so yung dalawang Jew, yung una dumaan, isa siyang priest, na equivalent na para isang pastor, nakita siya, natakot, tumakbo, sunod, dumating naman yung Levite who performs temple duties sa temple, religious man din, wala akong ginawa, and then dumating, yung Samaritan, of course, yung story ng mga Jews at Samaritan, galit na galit, at kinamumang yan ng mga Jews at Samaritan, yun ang tumulong sa kanya, hinugasan ng kanyang mga sugat, sinakay sa kanyang donkey, dinala sa isang hotel, binayaran siya for the equivalent for 2 weeks, at kapag kulang daw yung babayaran, why? Because he has compassion dito. So, ang point ng parable dito is this, sino ang ating neighbor? Ang point is, everyone is your neighbor, and we are to treat them as yourselves. Now, this is true gospel freedom. The freedom to love and serve one another. It is not selfish, but selfless. It is not living our lives and do whatever we want to do. It is doing what God made us to do. Yung po yung gospel of freedom. Friends, we are made to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is the fruit of true freedom. Mga kaibigan, sa panahon natin na ito, na kung sa prevalent ang self-preservation, how are you loving your neighbors? How do we treat ang mga tao na nakikita natin every day, on-site and online? Do we show care and concern in our deed, or do we walk away when we see a need? How's your WhatsApp and Messenger texts this week? Have they been edifying and Christ exalting? Or are they paralyzing, preventing us to love our neighbors in tangible ways because it generated fear and anxiety sa ating mga puso? Are you pursuing others in love? Are you pursuing others in gospel love? I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm talking about pursuing someone na kung saan, because of yung love mo kay Christ, you're pursuing this person. Are you pursuing someone in gospel love who cannot offer anything in return? Are you pursuing someone in gospel love that would even cost you big time? Friends, our lives should be marked by love. Faith alone that saves does not mean that faith is alone. Our faith in Christ is always backed up with an action, with deeds, works, specifically Christian love. Let us extend our love towards each other, especially those who are members ng ating church. Paul mentions this in chapter 6, verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Friends, we are made to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is the fruit of true freedom. Bakit nag-comment ang ganito si Paul dito sa passage na ito? Well, there's two reasons. One, ito talaga ang tunay na tanda or fruit ng isang tunay na Kristiyano. And second, ang mga Galatians ay maaari are not living this way. Maaari may disunity and factions sa church. See, believing this false teaching will badly affect how the church will treat one another. Look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Paul uses an imagery of beasts of prey, na kung saan they're killing and devouring one another. He's saying, Christians, you should not be fighting towards each other, creating factions, or verbally attacking one another. So as a church, we are not saved to fight one another, but to love one another. Friends, do you love your brother and sister in Christ? Do you love your neighbors? If so, what steps are you doing upang i-exemplify natin that we have the love of Christ in life? Let me give you four quick practical applications and then we'll close. Una, a way for us to love our neighbors and our brothers and sisters in Christ is by praying. Pray for them. Pray that they would, that in this situation, if they're not Christians, they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If they're Christians, pray that their affections for Christ would increase by humbly trusting Him that He is sovereign and good. Last week, we have launched a prayer for 31 days, we call it 31:15. There's nothing super spiritual about 31, it's just 31. That's a month calendar of praying together with the same items where we, each day, we pray, may different items of type that we pray. We pray for yung stop and spread, we pray for the frontliners, we pray for one another, we pray for the leaders. I encourage you, if you need a copy of that document, please let us know. We'll email or WhatsApp it to you. So pray. Pray is a sign of our dependence towards God. Second, call. Call your brothers and sisters. Within this week, we are, as members of Crossroads, we are preparing to send out an updated nating membership directory. So I encourage you, as soon as you have received that electronically, start praying, start calling, start Zooming, okay, or WhatsApp calls or Messenger calls Do those calls. Ask them how they're doing. Follow up our members sa kunsan who are fragile and weak, and those who are members natin who are seniors. If they need something, provide food. We must help provide food and groceries and not hoard them. Call. Third, another way to love our neighbors during this time is by staying at home. Stay at home. This is one, in compliance with the government. And second, we also want to help stop or slow down yung growth mismo ng COVID-19. And number four, if you think that you are not feeling well, it is loving sa mga flatmates mo. It is loving sa mga kasama mo sa trabaho, sa pamilya mo, if you are to seek medical attention immediately. In summary, Christians are called to live in freedom. A freedom that is founded by the true gospel of free grace. And that grace that set us free should overflow towards living by loving others with the love of Jesus Christ. Christians, don't forget the gospel that set you free. Be careful not to lose and abuse your gospel freedom. Tayo manalangin. Diyos Ama, maraming salamat po sa inyong kaligtasan. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for causing us to persevere by faith. It is by grace that you have saved us. It is by grace that you are causing us to continue in the faith. We are thankful. Oh Father, I pray until the day that you would come or take us home. Help us, Father, to be people who are marked by love. Love, not like the love what the world offers, but a love of Jesus Christ, sacrificial, selfless, a love that is honoring to you. Help us to love others well, that they would see that our love is different, that our love is supernatural, a love that is not asking anything in return. An unrequited love. A love that can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we exemplify as a church this type of love, I pray that the watching world would see and glorify your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.